Research.
And UPRN 105.5 FM New Orleans. I'd like to remind you, you can also listen on your cell phone by dialing 704-631-4060 and entering the station ID code of 2899. And for anyone listening, go to UFOParanormalRadioNetwork.com and join us in the virtual auditorium or chat room through PAL Talk. You can download it for free at the site and join us in the auditorium, and you can submit your questions or comments there. Tonight, my guest is Steve Allen, and Steve is the first one to report on the Stephenville UFO sighting back in January of 2008. He was the first one to call me at the newspaper, and things kind of took off unexpectedly for both of us. He's appeared on Larry King Live. He's been on Good Morning America and numerous other broadcasts. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, Angela. Thanks for having me. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're doing fine. If you don't mind, would you go over what happened on the night of January the 8th so anyone not familiar with the story can get caught up?
Sure, be glad to, Angela. It was kind of a lifetime experience, something that's never happened before. That afternoon, a friend of ours and we decided to get together near Stephenville at a little town called Selden, a place called Mike Odom's house. And I just arrived at about 6 in the afternoon when we witnessed a UFO. And it came from the east going west at a very high rate of speed, decelerating rapidly. Had all kinds of lights over it. There was several of us there that witnessed this. And it came by and it kind of shook us up. And we went into the house to tell Mike Odom's wife about it. And she didn't believe us, so she called one of the people that was there that had just left, and he says, run back outside, it's coming back. So we went back outside, and it did come back by, and it had two F-16s pursuing it, probably 2,500 to 3,000 foot above ground level at a very high rate of speed. They had their afterburners on, and it was just kind of toying with the F-16s, and we watched it until it went off in the sun back to the east until it went out of sight. So,
now, you had said that when you first saw the thing, it appeared to have horizontal lights that broke apart into two vertical sets of lights. Is that correct?
Yeah, when we first saw it, it had some very bright lights. It looked like a rectangle shape. The craft itself, we couldn't see. All we could see is the outline of the lights around it. Totally silent, couldn't see anything. Then it came to Stephenville, and it seemed to come to a stop, and it broke apart, and it became seven vertical lights in two sets, and then it simply burst into flames, each set of lights, and then it just disappeared. It didn't streak off or anything. It just disappeared. Very large. It was up close and personal. It wasn't anything way out in outer space. It was close enough to us where we could, you know, within a, at first, like a half a mile away from us, so it was didn't take a trained observer to know what we were seeing.
But just so people will know, you are a pilot with quite a bit of experience.
Yes, been flying all my life, and like I said, it didn't take a trained observer to recognize this, and there were several of us there. And the next mornings when I called around, and you was the second call. The airport didn't offer any offers or suggestions, and they had made their due diligence and calls. And so I called the newspaper, which ended up, and I got hooked up with you. And the rest is history, I guess you could say.
I guess you could say it is. Now, when you saw this thing that night, did you feel frightened or uncomfortable, or how did you feel?
The first time it kind of was a startling experience. We knew we were seeing something, or I knew I was seeing something I'd never seen before, and I wanted to take a special, pay attention to it and time it and what I saw and make mental notes in my head of what was going on because of, you know, I knew it of some relevance there. And the second time when it came back by, the F-16s was chasing it, and that's when I become slightly alarmed. I thought, gee, what's our United States government doing chasing whatever it is? You know, if it was ours, they wouldn't be in pursuit of it. So, yes, it kind of disturbed me a bit, and we talked it over, and I went to my house quite alarmed. You know, I thought, well, if we're having a problem or something, you know, something's basically going down, I want to be at my home with my family.
So you were kind of worried that something was about to happen and you needed to be with your family.
Yes, yes, very alarmed, as a matter of fact, the second time. You know, the first time it kind of caught us off guard or startled us, and we really didn't comprehend what we was seeing because it was, you know, it was nothing anybody had ever seen before, or you know, it was just too far out there, I guess you could say.
Right. Well, now, this craft made no sound, but you didn't have any trouble hearing the F-16s, right?
No, no noise. You know, the first sighting we saw, it was traveling from east to west, totally silent, unlimited visibility. You could see forever, you know, and it was sundown, but there was still light. It was like a twilight. You could still have unlimited visibility, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the first time, and then when it went to Stephenville and stopped, and then 10 or 15 minutes later it came back by with the F-16s, we could hear the F-16s in the distance, and I saw the craft or whatever it was fly by, and I counted to about 4 or 5 seconds, and then the F-16s came by in pursuit, and they was, at that time they was about 1,500 to 2,000 foot above ground level. And we go to air shows and things, we know what F-16s look like and speed and how the distance, you know, also from flying quite a bit. So that's when it become quite alarming, I guess you could say, you know, is what's going on here? What in the world?
Well, what is it that you think you saw? Do you have any better idea now?
Gee, it's still mind-boggling. I've heard all kinds of theories and speculations. It definitely wasn't anything we have. It traveled at such a high rate of speed. It's just unusual in particular. I wish I had an explanation. I don't think it's from the Earth. It's obviously from somewhere besides here.
Well, you know, about 2 weeks into it, I remember when we were both going to be on Larry King, and we were at Mike Odom's house in Selden, and I remember saying, oh my gosh, you look so tired. And you told me you hadn't been sleeping. And then your wife told me that you had been up all hours on the internet looking for a picture that would resemble what you saw.
Yeah, just something, some reality to it. You know, it was something that your wildest imagination couldn't even comprehend. I went home that night and went to sleep, and I woke up at about 1:45 a.m., and, you know, it was just going through my mind, and I didn't sleep well for, 6 or 8 months after that. It like I said, it was up close and personable. There's no words to describe it.
How do you sleep now?
Better. Still not as good as I used to, believe it or not. You know, after a while, you decide, well, you know, we've been here for, 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years, and then there's pictures of these people, or they're so evolved, if they wanted to do us harm, they would have done so way before now. So I feel a little bit more at ease with that. But just still the unknown, you know, and knowing the unknown scares people.
It does. You know, at one time you offered a $5,000 reward for anybody that had a picture of what you had seen, and we even put your phone number, your work phone number, in that first story because you felt it was so huge that surely other people must have seen it, and lo and behold, they did, but we never got a picture for January the 8th.
Oh, the next day or two after you ran my phone number, if I'd have known what I know now, I may not have taken the same course, but we have a business, and all four or five all our lines was lit up, you know, on my private line, 4 and 5 lines was lit up, so people that had seen it, business owners, constables, policemen, all kinds of business people, professionals, a pastor and his congregation had seen it, so it was obvious that there was something out there that we had seen that is not normal, you know, so.
And even Mike Odom's wife said, you know, she said, well, I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I never thought to take it out to take a picture.
Yeah, it's harder than people think. Also, we didn't have the opportunity, nor we was a little ways away from the Mike's house, so we didn't have a camera on us, but taking a picture at night is harder than you think it is. You know, you can take a picture of the moon or a star, and sometimes it doesn't come out right. So we was hoping somebody got a picture of it. And yes, I was offering a reward. After that, I got lots of pictures, lots of motion or movie pictures of different things, which we feel like was it, from very credible people and several witnesses at a time. And as we saw whatever it was metamorphosing or going through different stages. So we feel like obviously it was the same thing because it was in the same airspace as we was. So, in the same.
Well, you know, the witnesses all describe something a little different. So, you know, not anybody's account is exactly the same. So, what do you say to that? Why is that, you think?
Well, people probably heard me say this before. We had the best seat in the house. It was kind of on a knoll or a little mountain, and we could see it coming from miles from the east going west and back from west to east. So I always say we had the best seat in the house, and as we was watching it, it was consistently changing and going through a different shape and sizes and doing different things. So whatever everybody else saw, I feel like we was all probably looking at the same craft or device or whatever ship.
Well, and then the radar report confirmed your sighting plus 7 other witnesses' sightings in time and direction. And I sort of account for the different descriptions as just like when you interview people that have seen a vehicle accident, they all have a different perspective from where they were standing or the view they had, and you get 10 different stories.
Exactly. A lot of them, and I'm not one by any means a trained observer. Like I said, it didn't take a genius to understand or see what we were seeing if he was paying attention, and the duration of it lasted long enough to where it was, you know, it wasn't just a flash here or there. You know, it was over a period of time where we watched it, so it was embedded in our brain, and I've said that before, that it's burned into my brain. I'll never forget it. You know, it was an experience of a lifetime. I was over half a century old when I saw it, and I probably will never get to see it again.
Well, what about Mike and his wife and Lance, the other man that was with you? Do they still talk about it, or?
Yes, we discuss it quite often. Like I said, it's not going away. Mike and Claudette, I've known Mike since we was 6 or 8 years old, first grade. So we go back a long time together, and Claudette's his wife. Lance works for the United States government. He's a postal person, and so that's the reason I decided to come forward. If I saw it by myself, I probably wouldn't have said anything, but there's myself, Mike Odom, and the government man, I guess you could say. So I said, well, there's your credibility right there. And then, of course, like we said, thank goodness the Leroy Gate and then all the other business owners and constables and all that came forward, so concurred with what we were saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that first story ran, and we weren't expecting all this attention that we got. I mean, news trucks were just coming in from everywhere, and CNN was calling, and it was just crazy. And so right when it was about to die down, the Fort Worth Naval Air Station base?
The NAS or Carswell,
yeah. Yeah. The Major Carl Lewis put out a press release saying there were 10 F-16s in the air that night after he had first told me there were none. And that sort of got it all stirred up again, didn't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Any time somebody flip-flops or says something opposite of what they was saying, you know, and at what point do you notice you had 10 F-16s in the area? That's a lot of equipment and machinery and manpower and a lot of taxpayer dollars. I hope they account for our money better than that, but then, yeah.
Well, what I wonder is, you know, can you imagine how many people on the ground, you know, there are to get 10 F-16s up in the air?
Oh, yeah, to get one of them up in there, it probably takes a small crew, you know, so 10 of them, it's a major effort, you know. They don't even have 10 of them at a one air show usually, which is the air show's coming up at Alliance on the 23rd and 24th, I believe, so maybe they'll have 10 flying in.
And, you know, he said that the Brownwood Military Operating Area was over Erath County, but you showed me your pilot's map, the map that you used to fly with, and that wasn't correct.
Right, right. The charts, it stops at Dublin, the military operating area, and we was some 15, 20 miles from Dublin, and we fly in and out of Brownwood all the time. They don't have all this air traffic coming and going, you know, especially at this low of an altitude. They do have air traffic, but it's up there where the normal person can't see them, or a small aircraft is, doesn't interfere with their, you know, whatever they're doing over there. So,
and people in Erath County are accustomed to these jets flying over us to get to that operating area.
Exactly, but not at that altitude. And also, they had I believe they had a B-52 circling that area for 4 hours that afternoon, as the radar reports.
The AWAC.
Yeah, I didn't see it personally. It was way up there where most of the air traffic is, you know,
right.
The Air Force.
Yeah, it did. It was on there from 4 to 8 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of started doing a grid pattern.
Yeah, why would they have one of those out circling out and, you know, in the sticks, I guess you could say. So, seems
and then we
ironic.
Had,
I don't know.
We had two jets that left the base in Fort Worth and flew to an operating area in Oklahoma, but instead of flying directly back to Fort Worth like you would normally think they would, they swooped down and came through Comanche, Dublin, and Stephenville. And that always seemed quite puzzling to me. It was almost like they were told, hey, we got something going on, do a flyby around there and see what it is.
Yeah, and exactly. The fixed base operator, or the FBO of Stephenville Airport, heard them come over at such a low altitude. He come running out, and of course they was already gone. He's got a private strip not far from Stephenville, so he saw it. And another pilot, by the time he had went out, it had did a double sound barrier break, you know. So obviously somebody had to authorize excessive speed, because you can't be breaking the sound barrier 1,500 foot off the ground, you know.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Right.
Yeah, there was
and this was a man in HICO, right?
Yes, yes. He's a pilot and a construction man as well. Has his own large company. So.
I know. Whenever you encountered this thing, and you were fearful that something might happen at Easter, can you... You were talking to me about my daughter, and can you explain that to us?
I'd had several calls from people. It wasn't threatening calls or anything, just saying, you know, we understand what you saw, and there's some things going on that people are not aware of, and we don't want to cause a panic or anything. You never know what the United States public will do in a case like that. It could cause a chaos or an economic collapse or whatever, and I was a little skeptical of that. I think America's quite resilient, and it caused me to stick with my story. You know, just tell us what's going on. We can take it whether it's good or bad. Just, you know, we're not morons or idiots. Just tell us, you know.
Did these people identify themselves to you?
Yes, several of them did. Everything from retired military people to astronauts to people that engineer aircraft. So
So you had an astronaut call you?
Yes, we've talked to several astronauts, as a matter of fact, and they've had some very ironic stories. They came forward over the period of since this all has happened and made several.
Tell us who was the name of the astronaut? Who was that that called you?
I've talked to Edgar Mitchell several times. We've talked to several colonels that wants to remain anonymous, but also people that has been they're up in their 80s and they was involved in the Roswell incident, and so very compelling. That's the reason I was losing so much sleep there, because I was being bombarded by information. It was like an information overload, and trying to process it and make some sense, because you'd have to take little bits and pieces, because nobody knew the whole story and was able to fit it all together. They just knew bits and pieces of it.
And they were they asking you to be quiet about what you'd seen? Did Edgar Mitchell ask you to be quiet?
No, nobody has ever asked me to be quiet. They just said there's a lot of people involved in watching, and just proceed with caution, you know. And they didn't exactly say it, but tone it down, in other words, you know. You're already out there, and what's the damage is already done, and you've made your statement, and you can't take it back. So I'm pretty high-profile person. I've got a business and know a lot of people, and I've been in the community for a long time, so I don't think they could erase me. I guess they could do whatever they wanted to, but, you know, if I was to, anything was to happen or threatened or missing, you know, it would cause more, arouse more suspicion than it did damage control.
Well, is there anyone, there's a question here in the chat room from a guy that we call Broom. He wants to know, is there anyone that in particular was of a great help to you in understanding this and coming to grips with it?
Well, that's a good question. I think there was a lot of people that had an equal role in what has happened. And like I said, there's so many bits of the puzzle, I don't think anybody exactly knows. And that's all of our mission is full disclosure. Somebody tell us what happened or what's going on or what we see. Or if you don't know, just tell us that also, instead of simply trying to explain it away.
Right. Now, back to my question, you were concerned about Easter. I mean, did you sort of think that we might be going to see the end of the world or something from, I mean, this thing was pretty much knocked you off your feet.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that was very interested. The Japanese was interested. The Brazilians, which have a lot of sightings in that area, they sent several film crews up at different times, and they was definitely interested. Believe it or not, the Japanese seem to have a better take on it, or what it is or what's going on, than we think. I don't know if they know something or not. And a lot of activity back then, it was being seen all over the world, and there was numerous reportings, and it was more prevalent. So it was a concern, yes.
Yeah. And you even visited with your preacher, because you're a church going man, you're a God fearing man, you're very active in your church, and can you tell us how your pastor explained it?
Pastor,
I think there's a lot of people that have those questions.
Yeah, he's a very respectable person in the community, basically a biblical scholar. Believed in totally what is out there and what's going on and what we saw, and he showed me several places in the Bible where he felt like that's what they was talking about. Back in the olden days, I guess you could say, they didn't have proper word terminology to describe it, so, you know, they referenced it as a wheel in the sky. And
Ezekiel's wheel.
Yes, several mm-hmm. different places in there. If you have half of a imagination, you can see where they possibly could have been talking about it. So,
did that make you feel better?
Yeah, and like I said, it's been around for a long time, so I don't think if they're here to harm us, it hasn't happened. So, You know, I feel like we're, you know, reasonably safe for the time being, but them being more prevalent around the world, more people seeing them, and they're more observed, that's what had me concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor, of course, a lot of people that's with the Bible thinks that we're in end times, and, you know, it's hard to predict, but that could be one of the indicators.
Well, how does your family feel about your experience? Do they believe you?
Several of them have a mixed emotions. My wife, she begged me not to say anything about it. You know, she knew that I came in and I was visibly shaken over the situation, that what had happened. You know, she knows me and can read me like a cheap novel, I guess you could say, and she begged me not to say anything to anybody. And I said, no, we've got to say something about it. You know, it's the truth, and the truth doesn't harm you, so let's find out what it was and what it was doing, and if anybody else saw it.
Well, why do you think this craft would be over Stephenville? I mean, what purpose? Why would it come here?
That's a real good question. I've got two or three thoughts. My original thought, and I think people's probably heard me say this before, the aeronautical chart is on your magnetic compass on your aircraft, you set it to zero, and there's magnetic polarity all over the world. And here's basically the Stephenville area is where you set your magnetic compass to zero, and I just feel like they come and go through here. There's so many sightings there for a while, what was it, a summer or two ago, to where you could just about time your watch and see it, and it would stop football games, all kinds of sightings. And people saw it, and the police officers filmed it with their dash cam. So
right.
I always thought that this is where it comes and goes. The Japanese have told us, and one of the experts that was with the news crews didn't know that this was the dairy town or the dairy capital of the world. And they said, oh, that explains it all. And I said, yeah, how do you figure that? And they said, well, they like milk. They're that's their bag, so... that was kind of a stretch, but, you know, I guess that's a possibility.
Right. Well, even some people have gone back to the American Indian days, you know, and here we have Comanche, the town of Comanche right down the road, and they feel like there's some kind of connection to that. Some have felt there's a connection to the nuclear plant by you and Glenn Rose. I don't know if we'll ever know what it was or why it was here.
Something attracts them. The sky's still active out there. I have reports from just very recently, and some good pictures that was sent to Bell Helicopter and clarified, and they didn't Photoshop them, but they blew them up and clarified them to where it, whatever it is still out there, even to this day. Very credible
well,
business.
Is it a picture of what you saw?
No, it's not what I saw. I feel like it could be or associated with it, but
tell us what the picture looks like after it's blown up. What do they see?
Possibly people's heard of it and seen it as the David Corone sky snake or hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the original of David Corone's, even though the History Channel bought it. I've got the original, and it's much clearer than what they got.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the horizon. Can see whatever it is dancing around, brilliant colors, unusual designs, switches within a fraction of a second on what it is, some of the wildest looking things you've ever seen. It's hard to describe. It's 14 minutes of it. People are talking. You can see the horizon, so obviously the camera's not jerking around and moving on a star out there. You know, the horizon.
Well, a lot of people think that's what it was. I think it was that shaky camera.
Yeah.
Syndrome, and we even had somebody that reproduced that on Open Minds Forum, but like you said,
doesn't look the same. History Channel tried to reproduce it with all their technology and money, and it doesn't look near the same. It's nothing, not even close of a reasonable facsimile thereof.
So this recent picture, that's what it looks like too, the sky snake thing?
Yes, yeah, and it was closer. The guy was probably... between the Stephenville and just past Three Way, if people know where that's at. He was past that area. and lost 2 hours while he was there. Very reputable businessman, owns a chain of owns and manages a chain of or a franchise of businesses. Know him personally, very good friend of mine.
And he had 2 hours of missing time?
Yes, 2 hours of missing time. He was coming back. It was late in the afternoon, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Simply just showed up where he was supposed to be at 2 hours later than he was supposed to. And instead of a two-hour trip, it ended up being 4 hours and 10 minutes. He got some pictures with his cell phone camera. That made me think, oh, gosh, cell phone camera, this is terrible. You know, the resolution
uh-huh.
is not going to be good. I said, transfer it to your computer and call me. You know, I get a lot of calls a day. And sure enough, he did. And the pictures was quite amazing. Then he takes them to his uncle at the Bell helicopter, and they straighten, you know, they look at it and blow it up and clarify it. And you can see quite a bit in it. It's almost too revealing. It's I've got a copy of them, so...
What do you see in it?
It's hard to describe. It looks like kind of an entity of seven lights in a ball, and then also there's two separate images off to the side. And how that can happen, I don't know, but there's a lot of unexplained things. So,
you actually can look for, you might can see a being? An entity, something alive in it?
Whatever it is, a ship or whatever, and it's basically lighting up the area that's around, you know, like like the sun shining or something. It makes the area bright.
Mm-hmm.
There's also an algebra teacher that I've got drawings from that it came right over her pickup, and it kind of hoovered. And went on, and I've got quite a few drawings from her, and she had her children with her. And this gal's Miss Redneck, I guess you could say. She's got horses and everything with her, and coming back from the rodeo. And this happened, and they was out, in the middle of nowhere. And it's real dark out here. You kind of unlimited visibility up through there. You can see universes and galaxies and different layers of sky.
Mm-hmm.
So when something unusual or odd is, you know, just above your vehicle, you sure notice it. So, yeah, like I said, it's still being seen, whatever it is. It's in this area. It comes and goes. I've always thought since this happened that there's a porthole, or this is where it comes and goes from.
Well, some people think that what we've seen here is a military experimental craft. Do you think that could be what went on?
Oh, I sure wish it was. I wish we had something that even resembles that. I spoke with several military people, and they, they concur that there is some experiments going on, but that's not what they have. And what we see is just, you know, that can go from thousands of miles an hour to zero in a matter of a second or two. So, you know, if there was anybody in them, they would be pulverized by G-forces or whatever. So.
Well, you know, that second time that I was on Larry King, and he asked me what I, thought it was. And, you know, at first I did think it was probably something military. I mean, if you never saw the stealth, you know, you would have certainly thought that was pretty strange looking, and it could have been called a UFO when it was being flown around. So at first I thought that, but when it kept coming back, then I thought, well, why would they still be bringing it here when we've had all of this publicity? I mean, if you want to keep it secret, wouldn't you move it on off?
Well, sure, there's places out there in the desert in Utah, Arizona, California, anywhere where you can fly it, and it's not over such a populated area. And you sure wouldn't be chasing it with F-16s, you know, to really draw some attention to yourself, so... It just
yeah.
doesn't make sense that it would be one of ours with all that Air Force attention, I guess you could say, and the frequency of it. Constable has it on film quite a few times. He chased it for an hour and 45 minutes one night with his dash cam. He had one of the better dash cams of all the cops in the area. Got some pretty good pictures out of it, kind of a diamond-shaped craft, had windows on it. And he chased it for an hour and 45 minutes till he got another call and he had to come off of it. But in which you've seen those pictures as well.
Right. Yeah. It's been incredible. And then, you know, in the fall, we started having all of these flares drop. Did you see all the flares?
Yes, yeah, we've seen the flares. I think that was just personally the diversionary tactic, and it the people that saw both the flares and whatever we saw definitely concur. You know, we're seeing two different things. You know, that's basically a joke, or what we saw. The flares didn't look anything like that. You know, and how can you go from all the way to the sunset to the horizon back and forth twice with F-16s chasing flares? You know.
Right. And, you know, I've grown up around here, and I had never seen flares dropped in our area before.
No, not like what they was, not like what we saw. It's just, like I
said, we were in a burn ban at the time, which might be, I thought might be kind of dangerous.
Burn ban, plus, like I've said before, it doesn't take a trained observer to see what we saw, and the duration of it is what was the killer. You know, a flare drops from, you know, it's vertical. It doesn't go horizontal at thousands of miles an hour and slows up, stops, and just actually earth-shaking, and it's very emotional, I guess you could say.
Well, there were two nights in the fall, one night in October and one night in November, that I got really good witnesses that actually saw a craft. And on those same nights, flares were dropped. So I did wonder, okay, well, do they know when something's in the area, so they're putting out the flares so they can say, oh, it was us?
I don't know if they use that as a diversionary tactic or what their scheme of things is, or just a belief of mine. I don't think they know what it is, and the unknown scares them as well as it does us. They wish they had as much control of it as they would like to. Some other country gain control of it, it would be devastating. You know, whoever controls that or is friends with them controls the universe.
Well, do you think there are any governments that actually are communicating with someone from another world? Do you think our government does that?
I kind of think America might have the monopoly on it. A lot of the other countries has come forward and formed a union, I guess you could say, and revealed all their information and everything they know, opened their files. But America has yet to done that, and it kind of makes you feel like they know the more than they're letting on.
Did you watch James Fox's I Know What I Saw?
Yes, I did watch it. Thank goodness more's coming out, more credible people. You know, it's hard to deny when you've got a lot of very credible people, retired military, current
generals,
that's saying the same thing. And, you know, it's just so many stories that has been put together, and James did an excellent job of putting it all together. That
yes,
it's
he
hard
did.
To deny. You know, it's like, tell us what's going on. My final words was on the national news, I guess, was, please, Mr. President, the jig's up, the cat's out the bag, tell us what's going on. And I think I hid under my desk 3 days after that. I expected a black car to come pull up and tell me what was going on, but it never happened, thank goodness. So.
That's really been something that people have been hoping that the Obama administration will do, is, you know, they'll finally, you know, come out with it and tell us what they know. I personally think that Obama's got too many other things on his plate.
For the time being, if he wants to get reelected, he can't do quite a few things that should be done and that is on the agenda. So I think he's playing it close to the vest, I guess you could say, until time gets a little further down the road, and I believe we will see quite a few changes. I think Mr. Obama will do what's right, hopefully. So time will tell, I guess.
Well, do you still go out and fly and look for the thing?
Oh, absolutely. I just came in, as a matter of fact. I've been out looking first clear night we've had in a long time. We've had rain and been fogged in for 2 weeks. It's been killing me, so I just came in moments ago. I've been out just looking around. It makes you a lot more observant of what's above you.
I think we're all in this area. We're a lot more observant.
People's watch the skies for entertainment for thousands of years before television came into effect. It is a good show out there. Sometimes some people get a better show than others. So hopefully I'll see it again. I don't know. I've seen several things, but it's not been like this last time. You know, it's been hundreds of miles out and a streak over here, over there. Who knows what that was? But when you get something within a half a mile from you, radar reports and a lot of other people seen it, you're pretty compelled to know what you saw.
Well, you told me that the one thing that you regretted doing or saying was that you wish you had never said it was as big as a Walmart.
Bigger than Walmart, yeah. People seem like from the East Coast took that and run with it, and they said, is this a new technology of how to measure things? Is it 1.3 sizes of a Walmart, 1.7, 0.7, 0.6, you know? And so I caught a little grief over that. I tried to be careful about what I was saying.
Right.
People was asking me, you know, they took that out of context. They said, well, what size would you compare it as? And I've always said it was about a half a mile wide and close to a mile long, which would be a very
That's what you told me.
Stanton Friedman, the nuclear
scientist,
says that he thinks that it was the mothership, and it has appeared before and other people have seen it. So he felt certain that's what it was.
That Stanton told you he thought it was the mothership?
Yes, yeah. He said that on Larry King, as a matter of fact, that one night we was all on there and, you know, we was describing it, and that's what he thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing to me, really. I mean, I even know of people that have, you know, confirmed to me, yes, I saw it, and these are some very well-respected people, but they won't come forward. We had a lot come forward, but there's still a lot that don't want to be named. And why do you think that is?
Well, some of them that didn't want to be named that ended up being named said, well, I'm up for re-election, but they said, well, what the heck, you know, I know what I saw, so go ahead and run it, you know, and all the people in the area know me. Now, the ones that didn't come, you know, that came forward and told you and I about it but didn't want to say anything else, they're higher up in the levels of the government, and I think they're probably fear of retaliation of promotion or getting fired or whatever, you know. They don't want to rock the boat, whereas an individual citizen has nothing to gain or lose, you know. That's just they know what they saw.
Well, have you had any negative experiences? Has it hurt your business, or have you lost friends over it, anything like that?
No, everybody that knows me knows I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a liar, so they all believe what we saw. Of course, there were so many people that saw it, they just say, well, Steve saw it and everybody else saw it. It had to have happened. I didn't catch any grief over that. Some of my customers from all over the United States would call up and say, we just saw you on TV, or we heard the story, or YouTube, or whatever. And they questioned me about it. It was more of a, I can't think of terminology.
Curiosity?
Curiosity, yes, exactly. That's a good terminology for it. But, you know, what did you see and what's going on? And we've dealt with you for decades basically in business and lots of money in trucking and all that other, I haven't had any grief over it though,
except from your wife.
there you go And I've read the statistics, 60 or 70% of the people that see it are divorced if the other partner doesn't see it within the first year. And it was it was turbulent that first year, I'll guarantee you.
I hope that doesn't happen.
No, that would cost too much.
Well, you know, I had mentioned to someone the other day, they asked me, would you ever hear from Steve Allen or Leroy? Or I said, you know, I do, and I really think that Leroy, you, and Ricky Sorrells, and myself will probably stay in touch for the rest of our lives now.
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. And the, you know, we didn't know each other. I didn't know Leroy or you or anybody before this all happened, and we were thrown together by fate. Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported it real good, the newspaper in Fort Worth. They reported it real good, and then it got down to the Dublin meeting, and they said, gee, it's all occult, and it sounds like it's suicidal. And I saw the reporter at Dublin, and I said, hey, Matt, what's the deal? We sure enjoyed the Fort Worth Star-Telegram for the past three or four generations, but y'all jumped off track, you know. What happened? We're not going to, I didn't even know Leroy or Angela or anybody or Ricky. And we're going to kill ourselves, you know? And I said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And he acted like he had seen a ghost. I feel like somebody had told him to write what he did, you know.
Who was that?
His first name is Matt, and I can't think of his last name. I'll have to go back to the
archive. Oh, Matt Frazier at Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Because he wrote some good stories.
Oh, it was absolutely, you know, it is down-to-earth and objective reporting, and he was just reporting the facts, and then all of a sudden he jumped off base, and, gee, we're all going to kill ourselves. So I thought that's about
it. Well, I didn't realize he did that. Now, I knew the one Bud Kennedy, I think his name is, that has a column there,
yeah,
had sort of done that, but I didn't know Matt did
it
that.
It could have been. It's been a year or two ago. It was one,
yeah,
of the two guys, whoever it was at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Great newspaper. Love them to death, but where they took about face on that, I don't know. It was shortly after they'd, you had found out, gee, there was 10 F-16s in the area. Everything was acting a little funny there, so I don't know.
Well, I remember one time you also told me that John Lear called you.
Yes, yes, that was the aviation person I spoke of. That was probably one of the turning points of my life, and he talked to me probably an hour and 45 minutes, our first talk, and told me to go on YouTube, and he also described in detail several things, and about moon mining and people on the moon and Mars and things like that. And I thought, well, that's a little far out. And then I got to researching what he had told me exactly, you know, and put some pieces together there. And it was quite shocking, I guess you could say.
Well, because he discussed, you know, what he thought was going on the moon and when you going on with the moon, and then when you first hear that, it does sound kind of crazy.
Oh, it's way out there, and if you can have access to some old NASA photographs and before they figured out how to airbrush things, and there's several books that was published before you know, airbrushing, I guess you could say, and you can look at the pictures, and it's all quite compelling in what he had said. And he was one also that had advised me that, you know, people are aware of what you've seen and what you're saying, and, you know, they're concerned, but the damage is already out there, so.
Well, did John Lear, did he really make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. He told me some stories about some projects that he had been on where they was working on different pieces of equipment that was very large, and it was a one piece of equipment, and then they come back to look at it the next week and it was simply gone. You know, they'd repositioned it to wherever they was going, supposedly the moon, and they'd flown over it and taken pictures, you know, before and after, and the piece of mining equipment was simply gone, you know. So it was very well spoken, intelligent, quite well educated, you know, a man of substance. He had nothing to gain or lose by telling me anything other than the truth. So that's what kind of shocked me, I guess, several days into this.
I think we were all shocked.
Oh yeah, it actually floored me. That's where I started really losing some sleep, when he started telling me what was kind of going on out there. So.
Well, at least you're sleeping a little bit better now.
Oh,
now, if people want to contact you, people that are listening, is there a way for them to do that? Do you want to give out an email address or anything?
Yeah, what can they contact you through the to the UFO organization, or what would you suggest? I don't want to get bombarded again by giving my phone number out. We couldn't
no. Well, I would think email, probably, whatever your email address is.
Email might be good.
Do you still have the connection through the StephenvilleLights.com site?
Yeah, I can get that back.
Get you that way?
Haven't been working it, but I can sure check it, yes.
Okay, so for those of you that want to contact Steve, you can reach him through StephenvilleLights.com, and that's Stephenville with a PH, and I believe there's a contact button there. I haven't looked at it in a while,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah, info or something. We might put it on your website Monday. I'll put a link on it when I get back
okay.
to work.
Okay, and my website is www.angelajoiner.com, and you can also reach me through Facebook, and I've been meaning to tell you that, Steve.
There's
a lot of us on Facebook, and hoping maybe you get on there, too. There's a lot of ufologists there, and so you can follow me on Facebook. I don't Twitter very much, but I do have a Twitter account, but you'll be more likely to get me on Facebook, and I think we're just about out of time. But
well, I appreciated you getting us on and getting the word out there. You're one of the genuine people that has kept the story real and credible. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, Steve. I've enjoyed it, and I want to say thank you to everybody in the chat room. I see a lot of Open Minds Forum people there, and I appreciate you guys listening, and we'll see you next Friday night on the Joiner Report. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody have a good weekend.